Welcome to the Future.Bible podcast, where you'll hear profiles of individuals and Bible-inspired organizations making a difference in the digital world. In each episode, we'll bring you stories of innovation, advancement, and real-life change. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to the Future.Bible podcast, and today I am joined with Melina Ruffin, who is with the Public Interest Registry and works as a social media manager. She's got tons of experience at a very young age, so we are so overjoyed to have her with us. How are you doing today, Melina?
I'm doing great, DJ. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so delighted that we can finally connect. I know you've had travels, and I've had a crazy schedule, and we got to meet in Las Vegas at the NamesCon conference. We had a delightful conversation over lunch, and we're like, oh, we got to have her on the Future of the Bible show, because she's at a vantage point, two vantage points that are really, really valuable to those who are nonprofits and ministries and organizations that are interested in technology and the Bible and the social media space. So let me give a little background, Melina, and we'll get into our conversation today. Melina brings her extensive world outlook and passion for doing good and experience to social media in order to connect with people. She loves building relationships with all the different groups, both within the domain and nonprofit industry and across the .org community. Melina is known among her colleagues as the Office Sunshine. Because of her infectious personality and genuine spirit, her motto is, everyone you come in contact with is your customer. Excellent, excellent. And so let me introduce Public Interest Registry just briefly, and then you can elaborate a bit more as you would like. So Public Interest Registry is the registry operator, so bear with the technical explanation here. But they run the entire internet infrastructure and space for domain names that end in .org. So nonprofits, many, many nonprofits that are either churches, faith communities, ministries, community service, animal rights, all kind of Goodwill, all kinds of nonprofits, fundraising. They're all part of .org, right?
Yeah, well, it's not just nonprofits. It's actually for any organization that has an intent or the intention to do good or improve the world or community at their core. So basically, and we also run .org. That's the biggest one because it's one of the top three TLDs. But we also have .ngo and .org under our belt as well. And so, you know, .org is definitely built for those organizations that are dedicated to improve the world. And so through Public Interest Registry, we work with registrars to get them up and running online, help them to maintain their online persona, if you will, and empower them to continue their mission to do better and make the world a better place in their own way.
Well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And certainly it's a huge space on the internet, and it's really connected a lot of people together to do good, as well as to be a part of fundraising, as well as raise awareness and advocacy and all kinds of other aspects of doing good. So, and that includes communicating through social media. So let's start with you. How did you get into social media and digital marketing?
So I got into social media and digital marketing. I'm going to go ahead and say through my personality because I used to actually work on the entire opposite side. I was working at Allstate in the corporate office, and I was creating the curriculum for the new hires and then teaching courses. So I was in the call center at first, and then I went into home office. And when I was in home office, I was doing a lot of analytical work, a lot of Excel building, working behind the scenes to create the formulas that build out the prices for policies. And I mean, I was okay at it. It was good at it. It was a job, but it never really became like a love or a passion of mine. It was just kind of, you know, going through the motions of getting up and going to work because I have bills to pay. And in that environment, I ran across a lot of people who found that, you know, have what I've been told is an addictive personality, and I'm very sociable when I have to be, or just by nature. And we actually became, or I actually became part of an employee group within Allstate that put me in charge of the communications. And so that's where I fell into communications. And we worked primarily via email and the internal intranet or the intranet. And I built out a social space on the intranet for that. And I ran that. And that was fun. And I was like, man, this could actually be a thing for me.
Oh, can I pause? Can I pause there? Can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah.
Some of the organizations that are listening to this podcast have a pretty large organization and maybe has an intranet. How in the world do you create a social space on an internal network?
So you kind of have to collaborate with the event. So if your organization or if a piece of your organization throws anything from, you know, seminars to people speaking on panels to events where the members can come, you'll want to have those pictures available and readily available, I should say, and real-time updates as far as what's going on at those events on your intranet and on your social site or whoever your audience is. If it's for just your employees, then it would be on the internal intranet. But then if it's for everyone, then you might want to put it on your Instagram or your Facebook or something like that, just so that people can see what they missed, quote unquote, and feel like they were a part of it, even though they weren't physically there.
Ah, very good. So it's like building a website with up-to-date information.
Yep.
For your employees internally. And were you able to also add some social elements like discussion boards or what is it, Yammer?
Absolutely.
I think on Microsoft, where you can have kind of a chat room, Twitter kind of thing internally?
Well, it was very much blog focused when it was at Allstate because it was an older platform and an older build for the internet. So every time something would happen, I would kind of write a here's what's about to happen blog and open up the comments and then encourage people to comment if they were coming, what they were planning on doing there, if they had a part in the assembly or in the event at all. And while it was happening, there would be small blog updates, little blurbs, kind of like Facebook updates or tweets, except on the intranet, and then people will comment on there saying like, oh, I have an opening at 2:00, will you guys be there? And it would come through and I would answer, or somebody else on my team would answer. And then post event, there would kind of be like a look back, like this is what happened, this is what we learned, this is what we plan on doing better next time, here's some pictures, blah, 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 you know, just kind of giving people the high level of what happened throughout the event, just so they feel like if they couldn't make it, then they definitely want to make the next one. And it actually grew membership and engagement of the current members for the employee advocacy group that I was involved with at Allstate. And so that's what made me really take digital marketing seriously, because like I saw, I was able to see the benefit of it.
That is fantastic. That's exactly what organizations and managers and kind of the C-level executives want to see, is kind of the results and the impact of these social efforts that sometimes may seem difficult to understand the metrics beyond number of followers or number of views. So that's
excellent. Exactly.
And I really love how you explained that you use blogs to communicate events and give people a window into what happened there, and that draws people in for the next one. And I think blogs are a much easier entry point in some ways for those that are older organizations, because blogs don't demand the daily updates.
Exactly. Yeah, they're not daily. It's not as real time as social media. Like, it's not as definitive as Twitter. Like, you can go on Twitter and it can pretty much be what's happening at this moment right now anywhere in the world. Same with Facebook. But then if you look at places like LinkedIn, you know, it's a little bit more suit and tie, where you'll see things that are happening in your industry or you know, within your work, your work level, like what you do as far as your work is concerned, but it won't be like this is happening at this moment all the time. Like you'll see those immediate updates, but it's not as frequent as Twitter or Facebook or Instagram for that matter.
Yeah, so let's continue with the story. So how did you go from there and into digital marketing and more of the real-time social media things that we have has become part of our society with Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram?
Okay, so from there, I actually worked at an online media company called Urban Broadcast Media. It's based in Chicago. I did an internship there as a social media manager, but also as a personality on a few talk shows, podcasts, which they're now called. They were talk shows back then. And so I learned a lot of both the front and the back end of how to connect our audience on digital with what we're doing online. So it kind of broadened my scope of skill and like what I wanted to do for companies should, you know, I move in that direction, because at this time I was still, you know, unsure of if I wanted to do digital marketing or if I wanted to do broadcasting. At this point I was like, okay, I can do both. But I fell more into digital marketing just because like I understood the science behind how things work, and I understood how to read the audience and kind of take what I'm reading from the audience online and put it into ideas for our next event or ideas for our next piece of content or ideas for our next show, because it's all intertwined. The people that are listening to what we're saying in the industry, even in nonprofits, the people that are listening to what our thought leaders and what our leadership team is saying, 9 times out of 10, they're following us on one of the 4 social sites that we're on. So all of the ideologies should be consistent across the board, and they should kind of feed and play off of each other. And when we're listening to what they want and what they're interested in, that should then kind of feed us ideas on things that we can do better, things that we can, you know, improve on, things that maybe we should pull back on, ideas or like feelings as far as like any changes that we're, you know, planning on doing organizationally. If that's going to possibly cause a problem, should we be prepared for a problem? So I'm the one that kind of picked up on all of that really quickly. And it was easy for me to pick up on it. It wasn't difficult. So I put a little bit more effort into digital marketing. I did a lot on my own as an independent contractor. I've worked with Shepherd Medical Products. I've worked with Iconic Life Global out in LA. I've worked with a company that was medical products again, but worked with the CDC, worked with lawyers and their agency, worked with a marketing firm for lawyers. So I have a huge net of learning because I took all of these roles and I dipped my toe in all of these industries on how to communicate with different groups of people and how to read different groups of people and how to take what I learned from them and, you know, help whatever business I'm supporting at the time to be more successful online as well as in real life. Eventually, I landed at McDonald's under a contract through Jeffrey M. Consulting. I was there for 1.5 years, and that was probably the best 1.5 years in my career because it taught me so much. I started out as just a community manager, which means basically when people would tweet or message to McDonald's Global online or on social media, I should say, I was the person that was responding to them, and I was at the same time listening, using social listening tools to read the temperature of the conversation and relay it back to my manager. I did that for like 3 months, and then I actually got, I want to say promoted, but it was pretty much like they built a role for me as a supervisor. So I had a team of 6 to 12 that worked under me that did the job that I just spoke that I did. But in my position, not only would I oversee them, but I would also create their responses. I would create the organic messages that McDonald's Global would put out. I would work with the McCafe brand and all the little brands in the region, like McDonald's US, McDonald's Asia, and everything like that, to, you know, if they had any campaigns or anything going on. Uh-huh. And then with global campaigns, I would work with the campaign manager to make sure that the visuals were in line with what we were doing globally across the board, which was kind of difficult because America, you know, we say things differently, or certain words mean different things in different cultures and stuff like that. So we had to make sure that we were consistent with the brand voice, but also make sure that we get the message of the campaign across. And then I would bop around to different departments to find stories to tell. So like there was a sustainability story. Nobody really knows what McDonald's does to try to do their part to keep, you know, the earth healthy. For most of the stories about McDonald's food is bad here in America. So what can we do to kind of change people's ideology of the brand? What is McDonald's actually doing? So that became a campaign. So it taught me a lot that I'm grateful for and that I bring with me to PIR. So I think that kind of rounds everything out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is amazing. So I want our listeners not to miss this. We're talking with the voice behind at McDonald's. And that is incredible experience. Thank you for sharing a bit of the behind the scenes and just how big of a thing that you're managing. And congratulations on getting a role where you got to supervise a team with people. That really speaks well to your skill and your instincts. And I think if I were to summarize some of the things that you have said in your growing experience, is consistency of voice across channels and listening well to how the audience responds. And I'm guessing also looking at analytics to see what people do respond better to in terms of likes or retweets and comments. And then you've got that built-in instincts, which might not be as reproducible, but might come with more practice. And maybe there's some other things that we'll discover as we talk about your role now at PIR. So how long have you been with the PIR, and how are you trying to develop a strategy or a way to engage the audience that would be interested in .org?
So I've been with PIR since May of 2018. I transferred and relocated in that month from Chicago. And I actually took on the role because volunteering and working with a company that has integrity and shows that they have integrity for their employees is extremely important to me. So it was an easy decision to join the group, especially after all of the discussions that I had with the executive team and leadership and everything like that. So what was the second part of the question?
Oh, so now that you're there and it really fits your personal values and your heart for doing good and your philanthropy, I saw that in your social bio. How is it that you're using social media to engage your audience of .org people?
So our audience, it's an interesting audience for .org because, you know, we're not only talking to the people that use .org, we're also talking to the people that visit these .org websites. And then also now we're talking to the registrar or the GoDaddy and the name.com and the Hetman. So we have a plethora of audiences. And now that I'm on board, I plan to not only focus on the registrars, but also focus on the registrar, so the end users and the internet users and the people that by and have these organizations that are on .org. And the way that I plan to do that is by tapping into their conversations, communicating with them. I've already started by randomly liking something that one of them might post, or doing research that fits into a social day or a social month or a social week that's happening. For instance, last month, February, was like History Month. So I found, I think it was 6 organizations that focus on advocacy and improving the Black community, and highlighted them for a week. And then this month is Women's National Women's Month, Women's History Month. So I found .orgs that focus on advocating for women and highlighted them. So and then also in February, it was like Valentine's Day, so I did a bunch of stuff around love, and there's a lot of .orgs that promote love in different, you know, ways throughout the community, so I highlighted them. So it's just that type of connection that I'm trying to build through social media. In addition, we're researching events that the registrants and the end users attend throughout the year, and we're really trying to build into not only the social strategy, but just our strategy period, visiting or having some type of presence at these events, so that we can raise awareness that that org is not just for nonprofit organizations. If you have an organization and you have for profit, and you are a for-profit organization, but you have in your core values intention to help the community and help the world and better the community, then that org might also be the place for you. You can be a part of this community too.
So oh, that's a good thought. Really, yeah, because like I think if I'm not mistaken, like Google has a .org, right, for their community service and some of the social good that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of community. There's a lot of organizations that have .org, and people don't connect dots. Like, oh, this isn't a nonprofit, but you know, because it's doing good, it still fits with .org.
That's neat. That's so neat. And so you've got very different audiences. And one of the first things you did is join the conversations that they're already having, which is great. Add value to that. And then as you listen, you can, as you listen and as you reach out, you can find stories that may tie together along a theme or things that are happening during the year. Even compelling stories to just illustrate the good someone is doing through the digital engagement, but also on the ground engagement. And I love that I got to meet your team there at the conference in Las Vegas, that you're putting a human face to technology. And sometimes technology can be kind of inhuman because it's behind a screen. So appreciate you doing
right.
that. And
yeah, we're definitely trying to get our people out more from behind the desk and out of the office. So we're that's an effort that we're working towards now, especially with new leadership. So I'm excited about that. And then additionally, we're also working towards, I'm working towards creating and building a YouTube channel for .org that will include highlighted organizations that are doing amazing things with their website, or using their website to, you know, push and let their mission flourish within the community. So we're working on that for this year too. So,
well, that's a great opportunity and very exciting indeed. So I'll close with one last question as we're wrapping up this episode. So from your experience in the corporate world and now in the nonprofit world, what kind of differences and similarities have you seen?
Differences, I would say there's a lot more complaining in corporate world on social media. people use social media as like customer service. You know, if something happens, they run to social media, they tweet to the company, and then it's the company's obligation to respond to them and hopefully take it offline so that it can be fixed, or put out some type of, you know, message explaining what happened or something like that. And then with nonprofit, it's more it's more heartstrings. Like, I find that a lot of people, they gravitate more towards, you know, the highlighting of this is what this organization is doing that is promoting good in the world. And, you know, here's how you can actually utilize social media in your marketing strategy so that you can boost the awareness of your mission or your intent for your organization. They really find that information to be helpful to them. So it's not, you know, just sharing articles and just writing blogs, you know, just because you want to fill space. It's actually content that the audience, all of the audiences, registrars as well as the end user, find helpful to them and their organization. So I really, that's the difference that I see, the biggest one I should say.
Well, that is beautiful. So glad you are there and getting to do what you're doing. And it was a really neat connection to meet you in person there and to chat with you on this podcast episode. So if people want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, for Public Interest Registry, you can find us at PI Registry. That's on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and then Public Interest Registry on LinkedIn. And then my personal social media is pretty simple. I'm Lena Shanice across the board. So it's Instagram and Twitter, and then Melina Ruffin on LinkedIn.
Very good. And of course, we'll add those links in the show notes so you can one click onto all of those at future.bible. And one little trivia question. So between Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, which one's your favorite?
Instagram.
All right, Instagram. So you definitely want to follow Lena Shanice at Instagram. We've been talking with Melina Ruffin here on the Future.Bible podcast. Thank you so much for being with us. And
thank you.
We want to connect with you, listeners. And, well, this is an audio-only episode. So please drop us a line at Future.Bible or on any of our social channels as well. We would love to have your ideas and your comments on what's happening in your ministry and your organization so that we can together develop the future of internet and technology. So I'm signing off, DJ Chuang, and remember to be a blessing and to do good.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's session, please help us share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and family members. You can do that by leaving a review on iTunes or by sharing our website, www.future.bible, with your network. Don't forget to join us next week for the next episode of the Future.Bible podcast.